Hi. I'm really going to miss you, so I thought I would take your picture just so I can remember you. So, and you all look so good this morning, especially with some Broncos colors. There you go. And since I'm Generation X, I'm going to also take a selfie. Okay. Everybody in? Say Bridge Senior Pastor.
Bridge Senior Pastor.
Got it. All right. Now I can always remember you. Well, so glad to be with you here one more time in worship. What a joy it's been to worship with you, to lead in worship with some incredible people. So grateful for all of that. This morning I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 23, the first four verses. I've already preached on the last two verses of that incredible psalm at the beginning of the summer, and this psalm series continues even after I won't be here anymore, but you're going to be hearing a bunch more psalms. But I'd planned to preach these last four verses on Psalm 23 on my last Sunday. My last Sunday just happens to be this Sunday, so I'm going to be preaching those verses to you this morning. You know, there is a lot going on this morning, a special worship service, you know, one worship service. Again, next Sunday, a very important worship service in the life of this congregation. You know, in the midst of all of that, though, the most important thing that happens this morning and also next week is that God's people gather together in His name and worship. That is the most important thing. And as we do this together, as we open Scripture together, again, there is nothing more important than God's people doing that together and doing so in the name of Jesus. And what a joy it's been for me to do this with you for 6 months, to be able to preach in this incredible congregation. You know, it's really true, and most preachers will tell you this, it's the congregation who makes the preacher. Now, certainly God's given me the love and the gifts to do this service, but what a joy it's been to preach to you, this congregation who is so hungry for these words of truth. So I give you thanks for that, and so glad to be doing that with you this morning. So let's turn now and read from Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4. And as we do that, let's pray together. I ask that you pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for friends. I thank you that this life you call us to of following you, of being your disciple, it's a life that is not done alone, that you bring others alongside. And God, I give you thanks for that. Holy Spirit, as we turn now to hear these words, these ancient, sacred words, we want to hear from you. So we open up our hearts, for we are your servants, and we are listening. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, hear now God's word for us, the first four verses of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as I've said before, it's the little words in the Bible that I think are the most important. And in this psalm, one of those little words is this little two-letter pronoun, my. You see, it would be an incredible psalm still, an incredible piece of poetry, if David had written that the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is like a shepherd, but that's not what David wrote. He prayed, the Lord is my shepherd. And that pronoun, those two little letters, are so important. And my question for you this morning is this: can you say that of God? Can you claim of God, my shepherd? And really, that's one of my closing prayers for each of you, for this congregation, who I've come to love so deeply over the past 6 months. is that you would be able to pray in precisely that way. Not just that God is a shepherd, but God, you are my shepherd. So can you pray in that way? And if you can you then pray that way even more and more deeply as your life goes on? Not just know that there's this Father who loves you, but pray of that Father, my Father. That you would not just know that there is this Jesus who lived and preached and healed and died for us and was raised from the dead and so is Lord, not just know of the Lord, but say, my Lord. That is my prayer for you, for he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, as we're told in the Gospel of John, lays down his life for the sheep, and the sheep, that's us, know his voice. So can you pray that? Can you pray, my shepherd? Those are words of possession, and that's what God offers to us graciously. Those are words of intimacy. Can you pray in that way? Can you say with Scripture, I am my beloved's and he is mine? That's my prayer for you, that you would be able to pray precisely that kind of prayer, so personal, so intimate. You know, my own trusting of the Good Shepherd, my own ability to pray in that way, Lord, you are my shepherd, and I do trust you. I trust your voice. I trust your provision. I trust that you will lead me to the quiet waters, that you will lead me to pastures for the benefit of my soul. My own ability to pray in precisely that way has been strengthened so deeply as I've been a part of this congregation, this community of sheep who know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Because of these past 6 months, I can now pray my shepherd with all the more earnestness and authenticity. You know, I want to speak a few words of gratitude. I've had the pleasure of serving with an incredible session these past 6 months. 14 elders who are leading this church who love Jesus. They are prayerful and they are faithful, and they long for the voice of the Good Shepherd to know how he is leading this church. Within that session, I'm particularly thankful for Beverly Machowski. Bev, so thankful for you, our wonderful clerk of session, and thanks for leading in worship this morning. Bev, you serve this church not only with competence and intelligence and diligence, but with faith and love and compassion. Beverly, too bad for any clerk I serve with in the future, because I will always compare them to you. Within that session is also a small group of elders who were the team who hired me to this position to be your Bridge senior pastor. I then reformed that team into what I call the Bridge Pastor Evaluation Team, BPET. And I'm truly thankful for that group of people. Bonnie Baird, if I knew any other 80-year-old woman who could ski double diamond blacks, which I don't, but if I knew dozens, you would still be my favorite. Laura Reed, you know the joy of the Lord, and it is your strength, and you bless others with that strength. Lee Gray, the two most important tools of any disciple of Jesus are prayer and the reading of Scripture, and those tools are beloved by you, and their handles have been worn smooth by your hands and your long, deep following of Jesus. Thank you. Walt Shookman, I have come to trust you because you are quiet. For in you there is a quiet strength and a quiet sense of humor and a quiet and strong love for Jesus and for his people. John Colley, you've been a good friend, and that will continue. So I'm sorry, be prepared to start driving much more often to the People's Republic of Boulder. Good news, though, for you, John, because the incoming senior pastor, Corey, does not yet know how trustworthy you are, how much integrity you have, how well you lead. So at least for the first few months, you might be off the hook for long hours of church work. Unless Corey's listening right now, and then I'm sorry, I just outed you. But so thankful for you. I am thankful, and this is all part of my experience of this community of faith, this congregation who knows the voice of the Good Shepherd. I'm thankful for an incredible church staff. As you all know, they lead and serve with perseverance, mutual support for one another, and with a deep love for this congregation. Kelly, I'm thankful for your kindness and your joy. Mike, I'm thankful for your good attitude, your smile, and of course for your love of the Denver Broncos. Becky and Don, I'm thankful for your competence and your faithfulness. You lead this congregation, helping us be good stewards of our financial resources. Mary Fran, you love others so well, and you teach us how to love others. Alice, you provide such excellent care and leadership for our children, the most important resource we have at this congregation, and you've been a good friend. And 17 years ago, in a few weeks, you played at my wedding service, so thankful for that. Kia, your voice and your faith and your love for worship, I'm thankful for all of those things. Kathy, I'm thankful for your kind heart, your excellent work, and your care for others. Jamie, so glad to have you on our staff. You're a welcome and wonderful addition, and thank you for the work you're already doing. Marv, how strange it is that a kid from your high school choir in Boulder would be your boss for 6 months. A kid who actually misbehaved a little bit. Marv, I'm so thankful for you, and you've reminded me of much in ministry, including that no matter what we do, we are to do it well, and that whatever we are doing is about something bigger, which is about discipleship, following Jesus. Thank you. Michelle Riesel, what a strong woman of faith you are. What a wonderful mother. Thank you for your support of me and for your cheerful willingness to offer assistance and so frequently go the extra mile. You know, it's nice to have notes every once in a while to get through an emotional sermon. So thankful for you, Michelle. Patty Baker, you are the best announcer, as I already said, that I've ever known. And your smile, Patty, your laugh, your joy, those are changing our congregation. I'm so thankful for you and your friendship. Marge Rice, what a strong pastor you are. I know you don't have that title, but you have the heart of a pastor, and that's the most important thing. You love God and God's people, and you provide such loving care. Thank you for your friendship and for your care for me. What wonderful pastors I have served alongside here these past 6 months. And I say pastors because I am not only thankful for Pastor Cindy Frost, who I thanked a couple weeks ago as she embarked on her sabbatical, I am also thankful for Pastor Paul Parsons, who it feels like I have served alongside. Because even though he left before I came, he didn't really leave, did he? Because the miracle that God pulled off here through him remains, and so his spirit remains, and I thank God for him. And I thank God for my own family, for Eleanor and Anderson, who just rolled with it, as pastor's kids learn to do, and who came up to Fort Collins every Sunday that they could, and who loved me not as a pastor, but as their dad, which will always be my primary calling. And for Heather, without whom I could not do this job, sweetheart, because of your love and your support and your prayer for me. Thank you. Well, I could go on, and I would if I had more time, and name many other names, and I would do it if I had more time and if I had the emotional strength, but I don't. These words, though, these words of gratitude, they're not just thank yous from an outgoing Bridge senior pastor. They are that, but they mark a much deeper and a very important reality in this congregation. That you are a congregation. You are a community of faith. You are a group of sheep who know the voice of the Good Shepherd. You see, that's how we come to pray that prayer, "My Shepherd," is we learn from the other sheep to trust the voice of the Shepherd. And that's what's happened for me these past 6 months. I say all the more boldly as I pray, "Lord, you are my Shepherd," because of my time with you, because of your own deep following of Jesus and your love for the voice of the Good Shepherd. You know, it didn't have to be that way. I knew this moment would come, and I knew it would be hard for me. I knew I would love and love deeply. That's the only way I didn't know how to go about ministry. But you didn't have to love me in return, but you did. And I'm so, so thankful for that. And again, I leave this place with all of you in my heart, with the ability to say all the more deeply of my Lord, you are my shepherd, and I long for your voice. So thank you, First Pres Fort Collins, for that gift. You know, as important as that word my is, that pronoun, it pales in comparison to another little word in this psalm, Psalm 23. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you notice what happens here in this psalm? I'm a former English major, so I noticed this. David switches from the third person singular to the second person singular. He stops talking about God and starts talking to God. His poem becomes a prayer when he gets to this part. He stops talking about God as a shepherd. He starts talking to the shepherd. He uses that little, very important word, you, or perhaps better in the King James translation, thou. I will fear no evil, for thou, God, are with me. The poem has become a prayer at precisely the point we would expect it to become a prayer. When David recalls his time in the valley of the shadow of death, and who knows what David is remembering. David himself was a shepherd, so maybe he's remembering time when his sheep were in danger from bears or lions. David was also a great soldier and a king, so maybe he's imagining or remembering a time of military defense. Whatever it is, David recalls a difficult time, a time of pain, of suffering, a time of presence in evil, and it's at that precise point that without thinking, he stops talking about the shepherd and starts talking to the shepherd. He uses that little word of God, you, or thou. A very important Jewish philosopher by the name of Martin Buber wrote a book called I and Thou, or in German, Ich and Du. And I had a conversation with Rachel Kirby about this book this last week. Rachel is the head of the Department of German at CSU. Really nice to have a friend like that when you have a sermon illustration that has to do with German. So I asked Rachel about Martin Buber and this book and had her help me recall some of the importance of it. But in German, there are two second-person singular pronouns. One is du, it means you. The other is sie. It also means you, but you use them in different situations, and you need to be aware of the right one to use in the right situation. So my children, they would call me Z as a sign of respect and a sign for my own authority, because that's the kind of relationship we have. And you would also use Z in professional situations, working with colleagues. For example, I asked Rachel, do your students ever call you Do? And she said, Oh, no. They always call her Z. So the important thing to know, though, is this, that in worship in German churches, or if you pray in German, you don't use that formal pronoun Z. You use Du. And this is an incredible, gracious sign of who God is, that God would stoop and invite us into that kind of relationship. And we could say of God, you, not Z, but do, or in the Old English, thou, which I know for us carries some formality, but it also carries a very real sense of intimacy and nearness. That's the relationship that God invites us into. It's an I-thou relationship, and God is near and invites us to not just say, my shepherd, but to pray to the shepherd, to speak to him, because he is near and he loves us. You know, this psalm, Psalm 23, of course, is known best in the context of funerals. Really, I think the first time I preached was at my grandfather's funeral, and this psalm was printed on the inside of the bulletin. I carried that bulletin around with me for many years, and it was the first time I preached because I was in a church, and I opened up scripture, and I offer words of encouragement for the families, for the family members and friends there, and it was hard. because my grandfather, his body was in the coffin, which was right there in front of me at the bottom of the chancel steps in that sanctuary in Stoughton, Wisconsin. It was hard, but I was okay because I knew the voice of the Good Shepherd, and I'd been talking to him. I'd been saying thou to him. But that's what we think of when we think of Psalm 23. We think of those who have passed away, who we love and we miss. This psalm for many of us was read at their funerals, at their memorial services, and I think that is as it should be, because surely that is a valley of the shadow of death when we've lost someone we love. But this is not just a poem for dying. This is a poem to live by. See, the reality is this. It's not just that when we get into a time of difficulty or we encounter evil, and so much evil has been coming across our screens in the past couple weeks, Orlando and now Nice. Surely it is in those moments where we do stop talking about the shepherd and start talking to the shepherd. We say to him, God, you are my thou. But I think it's not just in those times of difficulty, of suffering, of evil that we can pray in that way. I think it's at any moment, because the reality is this. This entire life is lived in the valley of the shadow of death. Is that not true? Is death's shadow, isn't it always pressing in around us? That's the reality of our life. We live our life in the valley of the shadow of death, and that's the grace, the wonder that God and Jesus has entered into that valley for us and lived every dimension of the human life, encountered all the suffering. He grieved, experienced pain, encountered evil and injustice, and was willing to go so deep into that valley that the Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. That is our Lord. He has lived this human life with us and for us. This life, the whole of which is lived in the valley of the shadow of death. That is the reason, sisters and brothers, that we can not only say, my shepherd, as important as that pronoun is, but we can say to the shepherd, you, thou. We can pray and talk to him. We can listen to him. I mentioned that 17 years ago, in a few weeks, Alice was part of a worship service in which Heather and I became married, and she played a hymn that she's going to play at the end of this worship service. It happens to be my favorite and Heather's favorite, Be Thou My Vision. You hear those words in this hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Wisdom. Be Thou My Best Thought. Be Thou, Thou Only, First in My Heart. Those repeated words, God, be thou. And that's my prayer for you, that God would be your thou, and that you would go deeper and deeper and deeper into that intimacy with our Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, who's laid down his life for the sheep, and whose voice we follow. Sisters and brothers, First Pres, Fort Collins, beloved of God, may God be your thou.